From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Former Congressman Joe Walsh, who has mounted a Republican primary challenge to Donald Trump that most of us haven't even heard about, has concluded that his party is now a cult in the grip of the president. He accused Republican lawmakers of giving in to Trump's cultish leadership and said that he's even gotten threats for challenging Trump in the primary. Experts on cults agree that there's actually a disturbing parallel between how Trump addresses his supporters and how cult leaders manipulate their followers. Now, a leading cult expert has written a book about it called simply The Cult of Trump. Author Stephen Hassan writes, "Donald Trump's authoritarian tendencies and the cult-like aspects of his presidency have become too obvious to ignore." Mr. Hassan is one of the nation's leading experts on cults. He's helped people with destructive cults, mind control, brainwashing, parental alienation, estrangement, unethical hypnosis, abusive relationships, human trafficking, multi-level marketing, violent extremism, and other forms of undue influence. He's also the president and founder of the Freedom of Mind Resource Center, and he now joins me to discuss his book, The Cult of Trump. A leading cult expert explains how the president uses mind control. Welcome to the program, Stephen.
Thank you, Sonali, for having me on.
So you come to this industry, to this expertise, as someone who's actually been in a cult decades ago, experienced what it was like, left it, and has helped other people. So I assume that that may put you in a better position than most of us in recognizing the hallmarks of what constitutes a cult leader. Tell me first about your own experience, the cult leader and the cult that you found yourself in the grips of.
Sure. I was recruited at age 19 back in 1974 while a student at Queens College. By the way, I grew up 1.3 miles from Donald Trump in Queens, by the way. But I was recruited by women pretending to be students, and they were not. And they were members of a right-wing cult called the Moonies, that basically followed Sun Myung Moon, thought he was the Messiah. And the group very much wanted to take over the world, thought democracy was satanic, wanted to install a theocracy. And I went through a radical personality change completely from the person I grew up as a conservative Jew to become someone who believed the Holocaust was necessary because the Jews didn't accept Jesus. I went from thinking Nixon was a crook to in the cult, Moon said God wanted Nixon to be president, and I was sent to fast for 3 days on the Capitol stairs during Watergate. So I experienced this radical personality change, and I got out after a near fatal van crash due to sleep exhaustion. And my family hired some ex-Moonies to do a deprogramming, which took 5 days, which, by the way, I agreed to do because I was so sure I wasn't brainwashed and I wasn't mind controlled. But by the end of the fifth day, after learning about Chinese communist brainwashing and really digging deep into my own experiences in the group, I came to the realization that Moon was a pathological liar, a narcissist, who was not only not the Messiah, but he was a malignant character. And I felt so guilty and so ashamed and embarrassed that I had fallen for this, that I wanted to study psychology and understand what happened to me and help get out people that I had recruited into the cult. And that was 76. And then Jonestown happened, and I never imagined I'd be doing this work 43 years later, but here I am.
And so on display for the past 3 years, through our television sets, through the political rallies, we have a president who elicits in his followers some of the same kinds of reactions that you were just describing that you had. We hear people saying that Trump has been anointed by God, you know, bumper sticker saying, "In Trump we trust." What are the hallmarks of cult leaders like Moon, like Jim Jones, like David Koresh, that Trump displays?
So I have a chapter in The Cult of Trump on the stereotypical profile of destructive cult leaders, which is described as malignant narcissism. So there's a list of different characteristics from grandiosity, sense of entitlement, pathological lying, lack of empathy, paranoia, revenge over critics, or you can go down the whole list. And in fact, in that chapter, I parallel Donald Trump's own words with Jim Jones, Sun Myung Moon, Hubbard of Scientology, people like Keith Raniere of NXIVM, Warren Jeffs. And so also that he's the greatest person who knows more than anyone and doesn't take any criticism, doesn't say, "Oops, I made a mistake." There's no accountability, there's no self-reflective quality, which makes him very dangerous.
This issue of grandiosity is very much part of Trump's persona as a president. He repeatedly, anytime he makes any announcement, will, you know, use superlatives and say things like "no one has ever" or "the best in the world" right. or, you know, "this is the most important" or the "greatest economy the world has ever seen," and "nobody does it better than I," essentially. And from the outside looking in, one wonders, well, it's easy to refute that. Why do his supporters take him at his word instead of, you know, going online and with a simple Google search, finding out if he's actually telling the truth?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And all I can say is that there's a process of influence that gets people into that mindset where they kind of surrender their critical thinking. And believe all negative information is a conspiracy or it's fake news or that journalists are enemy of the people. There's a lot of what I refer to as phobia indoctrination in members who are in cults, so they can't imagine being happy and fulfilled and not believing in Trump or not believing in the fantasy that he's making America great again. And I guess I want to say that I was an extra honor student. I was not stupid. And it's an error for people to think anyone who's a true believer in Trump is stupid or uneducated or comes from a bad home.
So when you were 19, you were a smart kid and you were still sucked into the cult.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. My mind was taken over. It was hijacked by mind control indoctrination into a black and white, all or nothing, good versus evil model of reality. And I believe the leader had all of the answers. And all I needed to do is trust and follow blindly and everything will work out great. And so many intelligent people, including people in politics, including people in the media, are kind of looked to by a lot of folks in the United States as respectable truth tellers. And when they're saying, you know, these basic lies or covering up, you know, like Mueller report had no evidence of Russian interference. You know, for those of us who have read the Mueller report, it's the absolute opposite. And what Mueller actually said in his meeting, but I do want to state categorically that when you're not thinking analytically, when you're not trusting your conscience and your gut, when you're not deliberately looking for critical information about whatever leader, doctrine, or group you're involved with, there's a huge possibility that you're under mind control. Mm-hmm. And it's an essential process for anybody to step out of their belief system, look at what the critics and former believers are saying, read it for yourself, and step back and ask yourself, if I knew back then when I first got involved what I know now, would I ever choose to follow or believe in this person?
Stephen, you are not somebody who has traditionally written about politics, right? I mean, your writings have been about cults and your work has been about helping people free themselves from cults. So we are at a situation today where if our entire country sort of seems to be this grand, or at least part of the country seems to be turning into what is a grand cult, the big question is how is it that some people are susceptible and others aren't? You write in your book that America is a country that was wired for manipulation. The conditions were right when Trump came along. What does that mean?
Well, one of the cults in the cult of Trump that I write about is a cult called The Family. It's a group that's been around for 80 years in politics. Michael Pence was recruited into this cult by Chuck Colson, who is a Watergate plumber. And there's two best-selling books by Jeffrey Charlotte about this particular cult and a Netflix docuseries about this organization. And they recruited Democrats and Republicans and atheists and dictators around the world to promote their version of reality that is not conducive with the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights or the Constitution or the rule of law, for example. But I also talk about how media has been grooming us, and then with the digital space, we've been groomed to consume and oriented to believing falsely that happiness is getting that new coat or getting that new car or having this or having that versus beingness and such. I talk about propaganda in the group, in my book rather. I talk about fourth generation warfare, which is a psyops term, psychological operations term, that's aimed at delegitimizing leadership, delegitimizing institutions, creating confusion, disorientation, and helplessness to follow some authoritarian voice. And this is something that's being done not only from external agents like Putin, but also within our own country through the Christian right. And so how is it possible that William Barr could say that the Mueller report found no evidence of wrongdoing when the report found evidence of wrongdoing? In fact, there were over 1,000 former DOJ prosecutors who said that if Trump wasn't sitting president and there wasn't a memo saying you can't indict a sitting president, he would be criminally indicted for obstruction of justice. Back to your question, what makes people susceptible? It could be any number of different variables, but the biggest base of Donald Trump are people who were raised what I call the New Apostolic Reformation, or what they call, where the leader claims to be an apostle or a prophet, getting direct revelations from God, and they speak in tongues and they cast out demons from people. And these are the folks that are, in my opinion, in a Christian-esque cult, and will do anything, believing that if they don't do it, everything to support Trump, they're giving the country over and the world over to Satan.
And this is, they're following a person who is pretty un-Christian.
Say the least.
Especially by certain puritanical standards of what evangelicals expect. You also talk about the, I want to sort of get a little bit into the psychological aspect of this, if you don't mind. You write in your book that there are these theories about how people's minds can become susceptible to being manipulated through certain repetition. And there's a process of unfreezing, changing, and refreezing. Explain that a little.
So So there was a social psychologist, a very famous one named Kurt Lewin, that talked about unfreezing, changing, and refreezing in terms of disorienting a person's sense of what's real, what is reality, then indoctrinating them is the changing, and then refreezing the new ideology in the person. And if you think about it, confusion is the single most important technique to use if you're going to mind control someone. And what's more confusing than having someone in the most important position in the world, the most powerful position in the world, looking in the camera and lying over and over and over again.
With great sort of authoritativeness, right?
Exactly. And it creates a confusion in the rest of us who are like, how can he tell such bald-faced lies and pretend and act as if they're factual? But if you understand a sociopath, you understand people like Adolf Hitler and Mussolini and other demagogues, that's what they did. And people have this tendency of projecting their own normality onto someone who is not normal and saying it must be true. Otherwise, how could he say it so convincingly and repeat it over and over again? I talk about hypnosis in terms of techniques that I see Trump using, where he's creating vivid images in people's minds of things that he wants to be there, whether it's fear of immigrants, you know, build the wall, they're all rapists coming to rape your children, or names that he gives to his critics that are very evocative. And in people's minds,
Shifty
they can
Schiff, add, Nervous Nancy, etc.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to go there to bring it up, but yes, those and others. But the point is these are not normal language, you know, these are not normal words for normal effects. And really, the confusion technique, the repetition is another mind control technique. Projection is another mind control technique where he's saying everybody is wanting to do a coup when he's the one doing the coup, or everyone else are criminals while he's the criminal. So projection is it gives everybody a tool to make sense of what this craziness is about, because there really is a mind control system. And when I talk to people, they're getting numb. They're getting so tired of bombardment. A lot of people are tuning out of the media. They're kind of getting into a learned helplessness mode, which is exactly what cult leaders want. They want people to give up their power, give up their free will, give up their resistance, and do what they want them to do. And I say, no, no, no. I've been there. I was in a cult. Please, I know what it's like to lose your freedom. Freedom is precious, and we need to stand up for it and proclaim facts matter, truth matters. And if something is legitimate, it will stand up to scrutiny. So don't just, you know, tune out and say, well, it must be true because it's written in the newspaper. No, check it out for yourself. You're intelligent.
Now, Trump is one person, but he is surrounded by people who echo him. His Twitter account, which routinely violates Twitter's own terms, but because he's the president, is allowed to keep, you know, directly bombarding his messages to his followers. And then, of course, he has Fox News. How much of Trump's echo chamber is responsible for helping to develop this cult? I imagine that cult leaders generally have to have some sort of media machine to amplify their words.
Absolutely. The media has a huge role in the indoctrination of people. The talk media, Breitbart, a lot of different social media and such. Putin has his own propaganda mill where there's no dissent there. And in my book, in my research, I saw that Alex Jones was repeating RT propaganda conspiracy stories.
RT is the Russian media outlet, Russia Today, RT.
Yes, RT, Russia Today. and then Breitbart would pick it up, then Fox would pick it up, and then it would get reported in mainline credible sources that look at how crazy it is, but they're still repeating the cultish messages, which affects everybody by even hearing the insanity of QAnon, for example.
Let's talk about how people get out of cults and how one can get out of Trump's cult. You mentioned that you sort of had a near-death experience, and then it took about 5 days of deprogramming to help you get out of the cult that you had been sucked into in the 70s. Do we have examples today of people who have actually left the cult of Trump?
Yes, we do. So Omarosa Manigault Newman wrote a book called Unhinged, which I read, and I did an interview with her. Michael Cohen, who was Trump's personal attorney for 12 years, described it as being in a cult. Anthony Scaramucci was part of Trump's transition team for 9 months before he was the communications director for a little over a week, has spoken out about this. And most prominently on social media, a man named David Weissman, who was a self-professed MAGA troll, said basically an intervention by Sarah Silverman helped start his process to wake up and realize that he was following a lot of liars. And so now he's speaking out online, and I write about him in my book as well.
And Lev Parnas, whose story and his turning away, I think that story might have come out after your book was published. He too seems to have woken up from the cult of Trump.
Yes, actually, so the book was finished in April of last year. So there have been multiple people coming out speaking since that time. But it's also interesting to listen to former GOP politicians and pundits speaking about the cult of Trump now as well. You know, part of the beauty of America is the right to dissent. And in a cult, there's no room to dissent and still have status. So as soon as you start questioning the cult leader, you're on your way out the door.
When Trump was elected in 2016, and I say the word elected to mean the Electoral College victory, because he lost the popular vote, there were so many books written about why this happened, how this happened, a lot of them looking at white rural voters, the pitfalls or the fact that Hillary Clinton didn't measure up as much as she could have. And I did not hear this aspect of people being trapped in a cult until now. I'm sort of starting to see it. And so I know that there's many people in our audience who might have family members, neighbors, people they love who they can't talk politics with anymore, or they've just stopped talking to because they disagree about Trump, and who might really want to know, well, if one is not Michael Cohen or Anthony Scaramucci, how does one free the mind of somebody they love from the cult of Trump?
So the short answer is it takes a process to get someone into a cult, and it takes a process for someone to wake up and exit a cult. But I always tell my clients, because that's what I do for a living, I'm a mental health professional, and people ask me, how do I help my loved one who's gotten into Scientology or any number of other cults? I say the more positive contact you have with the person, the faster it is they're going to wake up and get out.
To push them away, but to embrace them.
That's the worst thing to do is call them names, tell them they're stupid, tell them they're in a cult, and try to rationally argue them out of it. So what I say to folks is, look, if your brother, your sister, your uncle, reach out and say, you know, I miss you. And isn't it sad that we're not hanging out anymore? We're not getting together for family events. I want to have a relationship with you. And even agree at first to not talk about politics at all and just rekindle that emotional relationship with them. And then the next thing that I say to my clients is, you know, learn about cults and the dual identity, because cult programming doesn't erase the person's real self. It just suppresses the person's real self. So engage with the person and say, you know what? I would really appreciate it if you take the time to go back in your mind to when you first heard about Trump and you first thought, you know what? I want to vote for him or I want to follow him. Talk to me and tell me what it was that was impressing you. Now, when I have done that, by the way, I almost always hear how bad Hillary was and how they wanted an outsider. They wanted change in Washington. So if they say that, you can go, okay, those are reasonable things. So, and people make the best decisions with the information they have at the moment. But now let's go forward a little bit more. What do you think of a person who, you know, thinking of doing business with, and you find out they lied to you all the time? Is that someone that you feel comfortable with doing business with, trusting with your money or with your clients? And you're not attacking Trump. You're asking them a question about something else, but you're doing it in a respectful way, and you're encouraging them to start thinking. You can ask them, do you think there is such a thing as brainwashing? Oh, yes, I do. For example, Chinese communist, you know, programs are brainwashing programs. Agree with them. In fact, it was the Chinese communist brainwashing programs which was used to help exit me from the Moonies and the 8 criteria that Robert Lifton put in his 1961 book, Thought Reform and the Psychology of Totalism. So in other words, you want to find points of access that you can agree on that isn't Trump, that you can get into the psychology of influence, the psychology of malignant narcissists, the psychology of controlling behavior, information, thoughts, and emotions, what I refer to in my book, and I've written 3 books before this one, called the BITE model: behavior control, information control, thought control, and emotional control. And ultimately, people will exit themselves rather than you win a debate or try to persuade them out of it. And the most powerful technique is asking a good question with a respectful demeanor and being patient and really wanting the person to stop and think about it.
Wow. Well, Stephen, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sure many in our audience are thinking about their future contacts with loved ones who have bought into the cult of Trump. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, and I invite them to come to freedomofmind.com. Mm-hmm. I've written blogs. I've done videos. Learn about this. Thank you for having me on, Sonali.
That's freedomofmind.org. We'll post a link to that from our website later. Thanks so much, Stephen.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Stephen Hassan. He is one of the nation's leading experts on cults. He is the president and founder of the Freedom of Mind Resource Center. We've been discussing his new book, The Cult of Trump. A leading cult expert explains how the president uses mind control. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.